Hi, this is Pheromone, and you're listening to The Tony Soto Show.
And I am Tony Soto. Thank you so much for that fabulous introduction. Miss Pheromone back on the show.
You're welcome, Tony.
Hi, Pharaoh. Welcome back to The Tony Soto Show. I feel like it's been ages.
It has been way too long. I'm so happy to be back.
You are. Well, listen, you're looking great. I just want to start this interview off by saying how unbelievably proud I am of you these days.
Oh.
Well, you know, listen, I was having this thought the other day. So before I even met Pheromone years ago, after she was, you know, doing the press tour for that game show that she was on, I knew that you had been kicked out of a downtown gay bar before I even met you. I knew that Miss Pheromone was trouble. She was a party girl. She was wild. She was gonna maybe yell at you, cuss at you maybe. And you have just had a 360, bitch.
Listen, that bar cut us off at 1 o'clock. Like, girl, there are so many other bars I could have been at. But no, yes, your girl has done some growing up, and she is in her sober, mentally sound place, and not getting kicked out of any bars like 21-year-old Farrah was.
Well, let's talk about this, because sober is big. Sober is big, Farrah. Like, you,
it's getting bigger. I feel like it's really catching on. Like, I'm seeing so many people on social media, like, expressing their sober curiosity and also like sharing their journeys. And you know, it's so weird in our industry, because like our jobs is basically like push alcohol. And we've been pushed alcohol upon throughout our whole careers, like ourselves. So like, I never thought that like alcohol was something I would ever give up, ever. Like, I was like, I will never, like, as bad as it gets, I will never admit that there's something wrong with my relationship to alcohol. Cause I just like, it's so ingrained in our society. Like, you almost feel ostracized if you don't drink these days sometimes. So
yeah. I mean, I've told you a few times that you stop being cool. but you know, no, and I kid, but you and I have had discussions about, because pre-sober, we discussed it, and like, I think we both mutually have issues with the premise of AA just being like, like maybe religiously skewed and stuff like that. And how, yes, you distinctly told me, you're like, I don't want to find my sobriety, and because I had to find a God or whatever.
Correct.
So what has that been like? Because do you go to meetings? Is that something, how do you maintain your sobriety?
I went to, I actually loved going to AA meetings my first year. I went for about 6, 7, maybe even 8 months. And I got a lot from it. Like, it helped in those beginning stages when the cravings are still really heavy. And my favorite things about the meetings was just being in a room full of like other people that were pretty committed to turning their lives around. And I found like so much inspiration in that, because I was just hanging out with all of these people whose entire like lives was just getting as fucked up as they could all the time. And I didn't really have people, like sober people, to look at, or examples of people that have like quit drinking and like made a life for themselves. So AA was great, because it showed me like the possibilities of like, that it is possible to like live a fulfilling life without alcohol. But yeah, like, there was a lot of it that I didn't resonate with. And, you know, people always say like, take what you need from the program and leave the rest. And so I just did that, you know, like, once I kind of felt like I wasn't having those cravings as much anymore, I just stopped going. But I still really support the program, and I think it's great for people. And I, like, if anyone out there is listening to this and you are looking to, you know, start your sober journey, I highly recommend just stepping in for a meeting or two. You'll meet other people that are, you know, sober or trying to get sober, and you can kind of like share your experiences and share your stories and even share your traumas with these people in a non-judgmental, you know,
yeah, environment. And you don't need a Jesus approach. You don't need a religious approach. You can take it and use it how you want to take it. Now, I've always said, like, there are a ton of like sober people that come to bars and stuff here in Los Angeles. And it was new to me because I'm from Chicago, and like I never ran into an alcoholic because we never admitted our problems then. But I keep hearing you say, the alcohol. Was booze the bitch? Was booze the one that opened the door? Oh, there's Mika. So was booze the thing that like drove it all? Was it first the drinks, and then you're like, oh well, okay, maybe I'll do a bump of something else, or I'll do this.
No, yeah, like alcohol was the ultimate gateway drug for me, like 1000%. Like once I had some alcohol, it was like I didn't care about anything else I put into my body. Like, so yeah, alcohol, like really getting rid of the alcohol got rid of everything else, really. Like, so
it's true. Like, you don't even, I mean, you vape still, which is, you know, it's its own realm, but you don't smoke cigs no more. Like, you know, she's a whole new Farrah.
Yeah, I used to smoke a pack of Marlboro Lights a day. Which is like crazy. Like,
have you such a little tiny body, your little tiny lungs.
When you go, like, for instance, since I've been doing the vapes and stuff, but like, since I haven't had cigarettes actively, like, I'll have a cigarette now and I feel like I can taste the poison. Like,
I know, but I'm going to start smoking when I'm 60 again, I've decided. But I'm going to be smoking in a different country, not in this shit country where they just poison us with everything. You know what I mean?
I feel like it would be more fun to yell at kids to get off of your lawn if you have like a cigarette.
A cigarette in your fucking face. Yes. Now, you know, you are coming off of a very, very good interview that was done by Maddie Morphosis, another drag queen, the straight identified drag queen that was on that game show that Farrah was on. And you came out and you let everyone know that you are living your life as a beautiful fucking woman. This wasn't news to the folks that were closest to you. What made you wait to share it with people, like the people, the masses?
You know, like, I think it just really boils down to, like, when I sort of, like, during the pandemic, when I sort of, like, left Instagram, like, was, you know, focusing on myself, I got really, really, really comfortable with my privacy. And, like, I got really comfortable with, like, not feeling like a prisoner to social media. And, like, as much as, like, I care about my followers and the people that support me all throughout all the years, I just felt like if I wasn't sharing anything else about my life at the time, why would I just jump in and share just that and then disappear again? You know what I mean? So I was like, in my mind, I was like, okay, well, I'll just fill everyone in whenever I'm feeling, you know, ready to share my life again on social media in any capacity. So like, yeah, it was mostly just like, how random and weird would it be if I was just like gone for like 2 years off of Instagram and then was like, I'm trans, and then like disappeared for another year. Like, you know what I mean? So,
I mean, as a personality who's been on the internet since you were born, like you were an internet baby from the MySpace generations, correct? Like that's
yes.
So,
reach a point where the social media, it's like lost its novelty, and like, it's all become so like corporate and so work and so like not a fun place as much to like really share stuff. I don't know. I just feel like there's like, so we've got these new algorithms that we have to like work with now, and they're so unforgiving and they're so unpredictable. And it's like, most of the time when we post stuff, the people that actually want to see it don't even see it, especially on Instagram, I feel. Like, I feel like Instagram's algorithm, I mean, especially now that they've introduced Reels and they're trying to, like, compete with TikTok, it's like the photo is dying. Like,
the photo's gone, baby.
The art of photography is, like, on its way out, which is so sad because, like, photography has always been, like, modeling and taking photos and doing that. That's always been, like, a huge, like, way that I expressed myself in my career over the years. So, like, you know.
Yeah, wasn't it Miley Cyrus that, like, was on a red carpet, and when she got in front of the camera, she was just like, oh, iPhones? Like, everyone just had iPhones, and we're taking pictures of her. They're not even using, like, real cameras with flash bulbs anymore.
That's so crazy.
So, you are obviously still out in LA. Are you, here, let me ask you this. Are you nostalgic for the Pandy? Like, do you miss... I had a moment the other day and I was like, oh, I kind of miss sheltering at home.
Well, I still do that. So it's like, I'm still there.
She's like, I'm still here, baby. I haven't left. Well, what is the LA? Cause you're, you know, you moved here from Vegas, directly after the game show. You went through a Pandy. You're still here in LA. What's your thoughts on living in this city still?
I fucking love it here. Like, I could have zero friends and have zero friend group here, and the weather and going on my little walks in Beverly Hills, like, that is enough for me. Like, random little trips every now and then to the beach to look at the water, like, you know, things like that. Are, like, the city is so fucking beautiful, and, like, so many people are so hyper focused on, like, well, the people there are awful, blah 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 blah. And it's like, bitch, the people in LA are a cauldron of people that have come from all walks of life all over the world, and then there's people that were, like, native here, or their families, you know, they're from here. And I feel like it's really weird to, like, loop 11 million people into one category. Like, there's every kind of person everywhere you go. It doesn't matter. I've lived in three different cities, and trust me, I have, or four cities. So Houston, Austin, Vegas, and LA. And I can tell you, the people that you're scared of are among you.
Yeah, they're everywhere. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The people that you think are so bad in LA, they're in your city, babes. They're there. And, like, if you're so focused on the people in the place that you live, like, I feel like you're setting yourself up to, like, be discontent.
I think that what it comes down to, like, especially in our circles, is, like, we're talking to people who are either in the entertainment business or are adjacent to it. And I feel like because this is an entertainment city, that's what the broad strokes are. And everyone wants to be. And here's the thing. I moved to LA because I heard the people were self-centered, and I was like, oh, thank God, that's a place for me. You know what I mean? Like, and truthfully, I don't think that's anything that I need to apologize for, because every other person out here who fucking came here from Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois, you know, any of the fucking flyovers, came here for that reason too. But you do find a community out here if you look for one. Or you could be a happy recluse and never speak to another person. You think all those fucking mansions in the those mansions in the hills are full of beautiful furniture? And no, a lot of those things are full of boxes and hoarders. You know what I mean?
No, yeah. And if you have the Citizen app, there's a lot of drama that happens up in these hills. Like,
first of all, listen, your Texas is showing. All right. The Citizen app is just a glorified scanner. That is all it is. And,
well, girl, I have it removed from my phone. I don't look at it anymore. I don't want to know. I don't care.
Were you into it? Were you,
girl, on the pandemic? I was glued to it. 2020, I was glued to Citizen. I was the woman in the window. Like, I was, like, fully reclused. I was so scared of COVID. I, like, made my boyfriend wash his dog's feet off every time he walked the dogs. I thought COVID was gonna, like, be on the dog's foot. We were rinsing our groceries in the sink.
Yeah, I never did that. I never I never.
I was washing bags of chips. Like,
like I remember that I was sitting here and someone texted me and it was maybe a day or so before they were like, don't go out. And someone texted me like, girl, if you need to go to the grocery store, you should probably go to the grocery store. And I was like, oh my God, how bad could it fucking be? And like, I go there and it's literally a dystopia. Like, the shelves are bare. And I was like, oh my God, I should have been listening to the news stories a week ago, you know?
Well, and then do you remember like the toilet paper wars?
Oh my God. Yeah, no, no. I picked up rolls for neighbors because I'm a neighborly person. You know what I mean? I was like, I'll get another. Luckily, Albertson hadn't gone through all the toilet paper yet, but couldn't find nary a ground meat. You know what I mean? Bless. Bless. Oh my God. Bless. I was
thinking about that pandemic.
Well, listen, how's drag?
It's drag, I guess. Here's my thing. You know, I wish I was able to speak more about this on the Maddie interview, actually, because like I'm in such a weird stage and I like wonder, I really want to talk to some more trans girls that do drag because I feel like I feel like I've kind of like lost what is my drag persona, like what is my drag and like what is just like me, because like I'm still having to get glam. That's so it's like, is my drag like a heightened version of my glam? Can I just go out in a natural glam anymore now that I'm like can I still perform in like a really natural quote unquote fishy glam? Or would people see that and be like, oh, what is she doing? She's just performing as herself.
So wait, know. You it's think, been... so wait, is your question, do you need to wear more makeup?
Right. Like that's kind of like, what is my drag anymore? So I don't know. I'm still like.
Like, you mean, wait, hold on. Because we know what your drag is, bitch. You perform boots. Like, you go out there. You like to do your Christina Aguilera songs. You fucking always pull a strong, sexy look that have like, the men like double taking. Like, I don't understand what your question here. Like, why would it? Cause you know, the thing is like drag for me, like when I started doing drag, like I was just surrounded by trans women. And then I was like surrounded by little drag boys who were about to become trans women. So I just feel like drag takes you on the journey and like how you look is just creative expression. I don't think that anything changes. Well, are you just stunted creatively? Because I'm stunted creatively. Like me, I drag is not paying the bills for me anymore. And that's because I'm not actively out there trying to promote shows right now because I don't feel creative. Like, is that the something that you're feeling as well?
I definitely, like, especially during the pandemic, I experienced, like, a massive creative block for, like, the first time ever in my life. Like I remember, like, from 2014 to, like, 2019, like, every couple of hours throughout the day, like, I would just get hit with the idea for a look, and then I would, like, draw it, and then I would send it to a designer that I felt like would make the best version of it. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with, you know, actively being in the scene and actively performing and like actively being inspired and seeing, you know, other people and, you know, like other entertainers. And I think that pandemic, like we all just had so many problems, like, you know, we're isolated, we're broke, like we lost all of our money, like, you know, all of those different kind of factors, the world was kind of crumbling. Like there was the January 6th thing, you know what I mean? There's just like,
yeah, there's a lot.
There was a lot. And it's like, I definitely could say that there's been some creative block. But I think also like, I feel almost a little fatigued of doing like Christina all the time. And I feel like I used to always do a Farrah number, which was usually like a burlesque with like a pink wig. Mm-hmm. And that was like my thing. And then I would give the people what they want for my second number and do a Christina number. But then I started losing myself a little bit and losing my creative, like the creative block happened. And then I would just default to doing two Christina numbers because it was just easy. I didn't have to think about it. It didn't have to stress me out. I could do those numbers with my eyes closed. And I sort of was like, this is what I have to do until I get my vision back, I guess.
Yeah, I think that people don't understand, like, it is work, you know, it is work to maintain. Well,
and it's an investment. Like, it's a constant investment. It's a constant monetary investment. So
especially when you're like us who are like just job creating drag queens, like we could just paint our faces and look pretty. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not sewing an outfit, you know, girl. Like, I'm not. Well, you're lucky because you could just put in like your extension. But I'm wearing big old wigs.
It takes me like an hour to get those extensions in. And
I know, you're so funny. You're like
another,
you're like,
30 minutes to curl them. And
you're
then,
like, I got to do high glam. And I'm like, I don't even know what that's like. I'm like, I put on a little moisturizer. I'm ready to go.
Oh, please.
Now, you have a cute little setup there. I understand getting burnt out on drag, but like, you have a cute little setup there that you have going on here. I played some video games with you for quite some time now. Like, are you going to get online now and show people how many times you say the F word when you're shooting people in Fortnite?
I would love to. And like, that's been my goal with this setup, as you know, but like, I'm in therapy again.
Oh, that's great. That's, first of all, that's great. That's good.
It's so good because I put it off for so long after Amy, my last therapist, passed away, because I just felt like it was futile. I felt like there was nothing left that could help me. Like, I felt like I had exhausted every resource. I had tried everything I could, and
we talked about you not wanting to have to start over from the beginning and rehash the old shit. Yeah.
Because it's really hard. And so I was correct in feeling that way, because now that I'm back in therapy again, we're in the earlier stages. We're doing 2 sessions a week, and it is, ooh,
she needs help,
girl. It is so brutal. It's like, it's like pulling all of this darkness out of a closet, and it's just surrounded me. And like, in starting my streaming journey, it's a lot of like actually being a public figure again, like having to interact with people, having to be open to that public perception, having to maintain it, having to get on a schedule and make sure that you don't miss your streams, or like make sure that you're consistent and make sure that you're super active on social media, make sure that you're like in a place where you feel confident and secure in yourself enough to do that fully. And like, my fear is that I'm still so like, I still struggle with like chronic depression and ADHD and like CPTSD. And like, I have like a low self-esteem still, which may sound crazy to people listening, but like when you've been abused for so many years and you've had all of these traumas that have broken you down little by little, even someone that could appear to have it together, like they just don't, you never know what people are going through. So long story short, I'm really trying to work on feeling okay to just exist and share that with people on the level of what my platform is. Like, I've got almost 1 million followers on Instagram. That's a lot of eyes for someone who still struggles with like feeling sure of themselves, you know? So it's a scary, daunting thing, but I'm pretty confident that I'm doing all the right steps. And, you know, that learning all of this technology has also taken quite a bit of time. Working in nightlife for 12 years and then trying to learn how to use a computer is crazy. It's crazy. It's so hard. The other day, my computer monitor stopped working. Like, when I would turn on my computer monitor would just have a black screen, and I didn't know what to do. And it took me like 4 days to get.
Yeah,
my computer,
where do you Google? Again. I can't imagine. And that's funny because you're the computer generation. Like, you've been, but it's literally just been sharing your self, but via posts and stuff on
social. I was so good at computers prior to
when you could, like, make your own code on fucking MySpace. Is that what,
right.
is that what MySpace really tried? MySpace really tried to make a whole lot of fucking millionaires by allowing kids to learn how to code their shit. I was like aging out of everything as it goes along, so like, I stopped it. MySpace became uninteresting way before that.
My laptop I had broke like around the time I started doing drag in 2012. And so from the moment I started drag and performing in nightlife, I did not touch a computer literally for a decade.
Wow. And then she comes, see, that's old lady shit, Farrah.
Yeah.
You know what's just really great about this old lady shit, Farrah? First of all, I'm living for it. But like I would not, I don't know that I would have believed that I would heard you say, I'm here to fix myself for a moment.
Yes.
You're like, I'll figure out the other stuff. But that's big, because I know that what happened with Amy hit you fucking real hard, because you were also going through some real hard shit at that moment. So,
right.
And I kind of feel like you dropped it. And just didn't want to. And so the fact that you're doing this now, I mean, it makes me proud, because I love you and I want your success. You don't.
Y'all, Tony was one of the people that was like, just find a new therapist.
I was. I was.
Get a new therapist.
And I was, like, because it's like, I think it's like, I think that talking it out to someone who is paid to be a non-biased fucking set of ears, like, you shouldn't be afraid of doing the work. You shouldn't be afraid of having to repeat yourself over and over again, because you never know if when this time you repeat it to someone new, you might find something else. And I think that that's what you're doing. I think that you're, and aren't, like, I don't know if you want to talk about this and I can cut it out if you don't, but aren't you using a male therapist, which is, I think, is also yes. fucking huge for you, because, you know, of your issues with the trust of men, you know?
Yes. Well, and luckily he's a gay man.
Yeah, queen needs, like, a queen. A queen needs a queen.
I just don't know if a straight man. Well, I mean, but I don't know. I, like, here's the thing. I've been so surprised by men that have, like, psychology degrees. They're usually, like, even the straight ones, they're usually not as prejudiced and look close-minded as most mm-hmm. straight men.
Mm-hmm.
But no, yeah, like, I, when I was interviewing therapists, all of them were girls except one. And I just, somehow I just, he managed to get the most breakthroughs out of me in our session. And so I booked another session with the two that I liked the most. And, it was a girl and then him, and I went with him. He just seemed
we had a great time. Yeah, it was basically American Idol for Farrah's therapists. We were just,
it was America's Next Top Model. I was like, I only have one photo in my hand, and the photo that I have belongs to the girl, and the other one must immediately pack her bags and go home.
I mean, it's so funny, the conversations that we have while playing Fortnite. But yeah, I just, that was
but no, like, the back to the subject of, like, new therapist, like, when I would hear get a new therapist, to me in that moment it sounded like get a new pair of shoes, or like get a new, like, pair of pants or something. Like, it just felt like Amy was just too big to just replace. Like, there was no way to replace her in my mind. Like, she could never be replaced. And in many ways I still believe that.
Yeah, because you're not replacing her, because look, she helped you, right? Like, there's no taking away the good that she put into your healing process. However, like, you shouldn't stop healing because, you know, unfortunately she passed away in that tragic way. You know what I mean? Like you're still here.
She passed away like a month before the pandemic started. And then it wasn't even a month or two into the pandemic that my grandmother died in, like, a really
No, honey. No, the world slapped you in the face with the front hand and the back of it all at once.
And then several people that I knew and had been friends with for, like, over a decade in different parts of the world all were dying too. And it was like, I was surrounded by death. Everything, like, my career was at a complete standstill. I had $250,000 worth of gigs on the books for 2020. And those all went away in an instant. I already had a hard enough year in 2019. And I remember, like, in December of 2019, I was looking at my calendar and I had so many bookings for 2020. I was like, finally things are going to get back to normal. And I can just, like, you know what I mean? Like, I was just like, I'm going to be able to afford to, like, live again and, like, get looks made and, like, really, you know, do my career. And
yeah, girl.
Like, everything falling apart like that was just so detrimental. And, like, in many ways, I didn't feel like there was a therapist out there in the world that could make me feel like I want to live. Like,
wow.
I was so checked out of life and so in this mindset of like wanting to die that there was no therapist or there was no mental health treatment. There was nothing. In my mind, I was past all of that. Like it was too late.
The darkness was too dark. You were in it too deep. Well, how are we on life now?
We're pretty good.
And listen, that's all we could ask for now is it's ebbs and flows, ups and downs. But I mean, I feel like you're on the fucking ride though.
I sure hope so, because I've been really hard on myself because last summer, I like became really active on TikTok and I started like posting on Instagram more and I started feeling more comfortable on social media. And then I went through a breakup and had some falling outs with some friends. And then like everything that I had kind of built myself up, my self-esteem, everything just kind of crumbled from that. And I realized in that moment, like as strong and as like, I guess healed as I was convincing myself I was from like the sobriety and all those other sort of feats I had accomplished, I was still way more fragile than I even realized. And so that's when I was like, okay, time to immediately find, we have to find a new therapist. I have to get this worked out before I can be a public figure again. Like
work.
You cannot go into this industry and have all these eyes on you in a bad mental state. It's a really slippery slope. It's very dangerous. So yeah. I'm just hoping that the people that follow me are being patient with me. I mean, if y'all want to unfollow me, it's fine.
Come on.
The ones that are sticking around and like being patient with me, I really appreciate you guys because it's really important that I get my head right before I, you know, jump back into the wolf's den.
Well, listen, Farrah, I just got three more things, and then we're going to wrap up this show.
Already?
Yeah, can you believe it?
So sure.
Here's question number one. Well, listen, my audience has a very short attention span, and no matter how interesting you are, they will hit stop. The royals were hush-hush on Princess Kate, and now suddenly has cancer. When was the last time you were given information that you didn't believe?
When was the last time I was given information that I didn't believe?
That's right.
Well, this hard life I've lived has left me weary to trust just about anybody in this world. So I take everything I hear with a grain of salt.
Is that true? Are there people, are you a person that goes in and you're immediately like, I don't think they're telling the truth?
Yeah. Yeah, because it, like, for instance, if someone, like the first example that comes to my mind is like, so-and-so was saying this and that about you. It's like, what is your motivation for even telling me this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then it's like, I don't believe you. Because here's one specific example, and I wonder if any other Root Girls are listening or anyone other like people in public figure roles in life can relate to this. But when you get on TV, or at least when I got on TV, there was not a shift in how I viewed myself. Like I did not view myself any differently because I had made it on TV. And some people do. Some people get this huge ego or whatever. And so when people were playing these like social mind games with me and trying to manipulate me, and there's all these social climbing agendas that I was just so not tuned into. I was way too trusting and I believed everything. And people would get in the middle of my friendships or my, you know what I mean? And try and like get in your head about stuff and start drama and like stir the pot. And like, I've just come to learn, like, not to believe it. With Kate, I'm not going to lie. I was like convinced that she was in a coma.
Look, here's the thing. Here's my thing about Kate. Like, first of all, now that Kate did that video, there is no one that can be like, oh yeah, that video of the couple walking when she's holding bags was her. That was obviously not Kate Middleton. And now she's coming out with cancer. And if that was her walking with him, then why wasn't he carrying those bags?
But like also AI has gotten so
so prevalent. Good, it's bad. Is that what it is?
Well, AI has just advanced so much. And like now there's like videos that AI can make that are so convincing where they can use your voice and all sorts of stuff. And it's like, was that really her?
Well,
I'm
just
choosing. I have to choose to believe in it. Like I can't get down a conspiracy rabbit hole. It's just not.
That's why I have to get a job that makes me leave the house every once in a while, because I never get into the royals. I'm not interested unless it's like, you know, back in the day when they would behead people. But the moment I was like, they haven't seen her, I was like, this is, because it's like beheading shit. Like, listen, the only time those inbred fucks are interesting is when they are doing bad to themselves. All right. That is it. Well, speaking of the Royals and that whole fiasco and the Major League Baseball scandal that's happening right now, I'm sure you know all about that, Pheromone. What is a big scandal, or what was a big scandal that you didn't give a shit about?
Oh my God, that's a really good question. There's been a lot that I haven't really cared about.
Are you into Hollywood scandals, political scandals, fall from grace?
One, I can tell you a scandal that I am invested in, which is the Nickelodeon drama.
You're invested in that.
I'm very invested in that. Like the Amanda Bynes, the Drake Bells, of it all. And the answers are right in front of our faces. And I haven't seen anyone talking about this, but they literally showed that when Drake was being groomed by Brian Peck, he separated him from his father, who was his protector. He very carefully made sure to separate him from the one person that had his back so that he could get him into vulnerable positions to abuse him. Yeah. So tell me why no one has realized, with Dan Schneider himself even coming out this week and saying that he was helping Amanda with her emancipation from her parents. Why would he do that?
Oops, you are into it. So wait, are you into the P. Diddy? Are you into the P. Diddy stuff?
Girl, before I got on this podcast, I've been watching the fucking news about it. I've been so invested. He's going down. I'm so excited.
Answer to that question is, there isn't a scandal that Farrah won't pay attention to.
Well, the scandals this year are really juicy. I feel like some other ones, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones that were just kind of whatever. Baseball, I'm not going to care about that.
All right. Finally, recently, I watched, I hope I don't butcher this name, Ilya Malinin perform an amazing ice skating routine. I got emotional. I'm telling you, I cried a little bit. What's the strangest thing that's made you emotional? Shout out to that fucking skater, though. Did you see that? Do you figure skating?
I did not, but I love watching ice skaters.
He's a world champion. Apparently, he did four quadruple something or another, so 150 times or whatever. I don't know. He did a whole lot of good things that apparently it's hard to do as a skater. I'm ignorant to it, but it made me cry. But what has made you cry? What is a strange thing that makes Pheromone emotional?
Well, the thing about me is, Tony Soto, is that everything makes me emotional. I am a crybaby after all. And especially in these early stages of my new therapy journey, it's been cry, cry, cry every day, every week. But one notable thing an unexpected thing that made me cry recently that comes to mind is a few weeks ago, I was in Vegas and went to Madonna's show.
Oh.
And her show was actually kind of weird. The show itself isn't what made me emotional, but there was a certain part of the show where it's flashing all of these photos of Madonna from the earlier, in chronological order from her life, from young as gradually getting older. And her voice comes over the speakers and is like, in this world, aging is a sin. And like, I don't know. And then she said something like, the most controversial thing I ever did was stick around. And then it like ends with this photo of her like now, like looking older. And that literally made me cry. Because it's just so true. Like, and especially like living as a woman now, like there's a whole dynamic change. Like when you're living as a man, you don't have to particularly worry about aging as much as a woman does.
Yeah.
And it's like accepting and living my truth as a woman, it's accepting and living with the societal hardships of femininity. You know what I mean? And it's like, it does feel like women are so devalued after a certain age. And one thing I would just love to see in my lifetime is people celebrating women's aging in the same way that they celebrate, you know, hot daddies.
Absolutely. And not in a milfy way, not in a fetishization kind of way.
Right.
Not in a way that you want to fuck your mom, you know, like, cause that sends people down other traumatic, you know, spirals. No one wants to. Anyway,
I just feel like Madonna should be able to be Madonna forever if she wants to be Madonna forever.
And look however she wants. Look however she wants. I don't care how weird her face gets.
Me neither.
Pheromone, I love you very much. Did you have a good time on the Toni Sutter show?
I had so much fun. I can't wait to be back.
Tell people, well, where they can find you on social media or whatnot.
You guys can still find me on TikTok and Instagram at Farahrised. If you care about Twitter anymore, you can follow me on there. I don't post as much because I feel like Elon Musk has just ran that platform to the fucking ground. And every time I post something, it's like anonymous profiles that are verified showing up at the top. I hate it. But y'all can still follow me there.
The blue check is so gross now.
It's so gross. So yeah, TikTok, Farahrised, Instagram, Farahrised, Twitter. Is my Twitter Farahrised too?
I don't know. I'm not on Twitter, but yeah, no, I think it is. Yeah.
I don't even know my Twitter handle.
I mean, I'm sure you're searchable in the search bar, you know? Well, yes. And follow this bitch. She's great. We love Miss Pheromone. And if you love me, as you should, you can find me on TikTok or Instagram at The Toni Sutter Show. If you want to see what I'm doing as a crossdresser, it's Toni Sutter Productions on Instagram. And don't forget, if you are in Southern California, every Friday until this game show is over, I am working at 33 Taps. I'm calling a little bingo at 7 p.m. and then we watch the game show at 8. So come and drink with me, play some bingo with me.
Wait, I want to come. Maybe I'll come this Friday or next Friday.
I'll get you a table, girl. Oh, God.
Yay.
Yeah. Just
y'all need to follow Toni Sutter. Y'all are missing out. She has a lot to say and she's so funny and like amazing. So
yeah. Some people wish I would shut up. But anyway, never. Well, listen, thank you so much once again, Farah. And until next week, goodbye. Bye.